The text for our meditation is the lesson just read, with particular focus on the first five verses. And this is a particularly ideal text for this place and this day. One would think that it was specifically chosen, but I have reason to believe it might be providence instead. Now, I have to say that I feel a little what St. Paul says in verse 3. I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. It is a bit intimidating to stand here in this pulpit before such a group of theologians, both professors and students, on such an occasion as this. And yet it is not wholly different when a pastor or a vicar stands in the pulpit of a congregation, or when a deaconess speaks the word of God's comfort to a dying elderly woman to whom she shows mercy. The reason for weakness and fear and trembling is that we are dealing with eternal things, divine things, the Word of God, and the people for whom Christ our Lord was crucified. We should never be so comfortable that handling the Word of truth becomes mundane. We should never be so comfortable, but must always retain a healthy, reverent awe in dealing with the things and the people of God. It's easy to get caught up in ourselves, but we shouldn't. It's easy to become preoccupied with our intellectual abilities, our talent in wordsmithing, our skill in bedside manner. Obviously, I'm not saying that we set those aside altogether. We need to sharpen our minds, especially in theology. We need to hone our interpersonal skills in service to Christ and His church for the sake of the world. Nevertheless, it is all too easy to think too highly of ourselves or to place too much of the burden upon ourselves, as if we were the ones to do anything in the church. That is one of the many problems that result from being curved in on ourselves as we are. And a place like this campus is ripe ground for such temptations as these. It is a perennial thorn in the flesh for every theologian and servant of the church. The academic competition for professors and students alike that causes us to look too much at our own accomplishments. But we should not, we dare not get caught up in ourselves, because it's not about us, but about Jesus Christ and Him crucified for the life of the world. Paul, whose conversion we celebrated last week, was a Hebrew of Hebrews, but he boasted only in Christ our Lord. Paul was quite the intellect. He was educated at the feet of Gamaliel. He could hold his own against Pharisee, philosopher, and philandering king. Once, when falsely accused of defiling the temple, he observed the theological mix of Pharisees and Sadducees on the trial, and he took advantage of the situation, declaring, "Brothers, I am a Pharisee, a son of Pharisees. It is with respect to the hope and the resurrection of the dead that I am on trial." And a great dissension arose, not unlike a strategy I once heard for passing a difficult theological interview. But Paul sets all that aside for the gospel. "And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the mystery of God with superior speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Exegetically interesting in our text is the nearly equal manuscript support here for mystery of God, mysterion, and testimony of God, martyrion. Both work. Paul certainly proclaimed the testimony of God, the testimony that came from God, the testimony that bears witness to the Son who died on the cross to give us His eternal life. And he certainly proclaimed the mystery of God, the mystery of the Incarnation, the mystery of Christ's atoning sacrifice and of His glorious resurrection, the mystery of our union into the death and resurrection of Christ in holy baptism, and the mystery of His coming in His crucified yet living and life-giving body and blood in the sacrament. There are many other such examples in Holy Scripture we could cite. The author of Hebrews was a skilled rhetorician and preacher, but he likewise keeps going back to Christ. For nothing may obscure the gospel. Nothing must get in the way, especially not we who are servants of the word and of the mercy of Christ, because it's not about us. It's about Christ and him crucified. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. The gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. In the previous chapter, Paul declares, "For the word of cross is folly, moria, moronic, to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." And again, he says, "For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block, a scandalon to Jews, and moronic to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." And that gospel of Christ releases us. It frees us from our failures. It frees us from our sins of self-centeredness that want to make it all about us. It removes from us the burden of feeling like the survival of the church or theology is on our shoulders, and the pride of thinking that we have grown the church or even saved a single soul. This gospel unshackles us to proclaim Christ to those who know him and are burdened with their sin and with their troubles and with death. To those who know him not, but earnestly desire such a Savior, both in our communities and in the mission field, even to those who will vehemently reject both the message and the messenger. And all the time we proclaim it, that same gospel penetrates our own ears and hearts to assure us that we also are the blessed recipients of the forgiveness and life procured for us by our Lord who was crucified. What a privilege to be servants of this Lord and to proclaim this message and this mystery of Christ crucified. For what eye did not see and ear did not hear and into man's mind did not enter, what things God has prepared for those who love him. Blessings in your service to the Lord and his people, especially those who are being sent out today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.